turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, grab one. It should be a white Bible somewhere around you. God speaks to us through a book, and it's the Bible. Turn to Acts 21. Almost done with the book of Acts. Only seven more sermons, and we're excited about what's coming up in the summer. But in Acts chapter 21, as we're going to scan this chapter, we will see five snapshots of how living life on gospel mission has its ups and downs, but God is faithful through it all. That's what we see in Acts 21. Follow me. We're going to look at five snapshots of what it looks like to go up and down in this missionary lifestyle and watch God be faithful in every emotion right here in Acts 21. Number one, when you live life on gospel mission, not for yourself, but to get Jesus to others, you will experience goodbyes. Can you say goodbyes? Yeah, goodbyes. Goodbyes. You will. It's just a part of it. Look at verse 5 of chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 5, it says, when our day, so Luke records this by the Spirit, and Paul and Silas are with him. And so he says, when our days there were ended, somebody say ended. Yeah, that can be a sad word. Good things got to end. Good relationships have to end. It says, we departed. There it is. We said goodbye and went on our journey. And they all, talking about the friends there, they're in Tyre. If you look at the T-Y-R-E, that's the last place they are. It says, they all with wives and children accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. So let me see your eyes for a minute. We kind of spiritualized the Bible. It says there were wives in the Bible. It says wives, children. Paul and his friends, they were in Tyre, and they had kids running around like kids going to be running around after we get out of service. There were kids there. There were wives. There were husbands. There were relationships. Don't spiritualize the Bible. It's just like us. When we hang out, when we enjoy communities, when we're building relationships, that's what Paul and Luke and Barnabas were doing. It says wives were there. Children were there. But it had to end. And they departed. And watch, it says they knelt down on the beach. On the beach. It was beaches in the Bible days, all right? Ain't nothing new. So they were on the beach. And I think that was the greatest, that's the greatest use of a beach that I've ever seen in my life. To kneel down. It said they knelt down. And I think that's the main reason that God made beaches sandy and soft so that your knees can hit that beach. It's good to enjoy the water. It's good to enjoy all that. But you see, they knelt down on that beach and they said goodbye, because that's a part of the missionary lifestyle. Look up at chapter 20. It happened again. Look at chapter 20. Look at verse 36. This got real emotional. Look at this. Verse 36 says, and when he, Paul, had said these things, there he goes. He knelt down and prayed. As a side note, that's a good thing to do. Every now and then, you should get on your knees and remind yourself that you're small and God is big. It's a great posture for prayer. It says he prayed. And look at verse 37 of chapter 20. And there was much weeping. Why were they crying on the part of all? They embraced Paul, kissing all on him. That was a holy thing back then. We don't do that as much. Verse 38, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. He had to go on to the next place. But the place where he was at, he built these relationships. He got to sit down and laugh with people. He got to eat with people. He got to get to know the kids and the kids' names. And he got to counsel some marriages. And he got to laugh with some people and do life with some people. But when you are a missionary, there's sometimes with tears that you have to say goodbye. This is one of the most bittersweet things about following Jesus, is saying goodbye. And even in my short life, me and my wife's short marriage, I'll give you a little autobiographical information, right? We've had to say goodbye to some precious people. I just thought about it. Karen and I have said goodbye to dear friends at Southwest Community Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. We said it with tears after 7 years of building relationships. But when Jesus called us to go from Southwest to Cornerstone Community Bible Church in Sugar Land, Texas, we then were there for 5 years, but God called us again with tears to leave our friends at Cornerstone. Then we went up to Minneapolis, to Bethlehem Baptist Church. For 7 years, we built relationships. And then we heard Jesus say, come back to East St. Louis. And with tears, we had to leave our friends in Minneapolis. And even just a few years ago, when we left our friends in Minneapolis, we come and then we get new friends at City of Joy. And even in 2 short years, we have said goodbye to people like the Clearys and some of y'all don't even know these people, Allison and what was her name? Kamaria and the Woodwards and the Clearys and we said goodbye to our dear brother John Quinley, who is with the Lord now. And many of y'all could come up and talk about ways that your heart has been broken because y'all are coming out of other churches and you had sweet relationships and you're coming out of college and you're coming out of different ministries. And listen, you will have to say goodbye to some people in this missionary lifestyle. It's a normal part of what it means to be on mission. And can I prophesy? I'm going to prophesy in a forth-telling way. You're going to be sad again when other people leave, and especially when we start a new church and gather some people and send them. I don't know who, I don't know when, but our vision is to start new churches, and goodbye and much crying is a part of that. The old folks used to say back in my Black Baptist church, they used to say, when we all get to heaven, all right, every day will be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. But in this life, there will be goodbyes. But number two, what we see here, when you live life on gospel mission, spreading Jesus as a sent one, not only will there be goodbyes, but there will be hellos. Can you say hello? Hello, hello. You see that? Look at chapter 21. I'm not making it up. Verse 17. It says, Luke says again, when we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. Verse 19, after greeting them, somebody say greeting. After greeting them, he related some things. So that there were people that had gotten saved since Paul's last missionary trip. And it says, though he had left Tyre, he's coming to Jerusalem and he's greeting some people. He said goodbye to some people and he said hello to some other people. When you live a life on mission, when Jesus is leading you, there will be people that you say goodbye to, but there will be new friends and new brothers and sisters that you get to say hello to. And I thought about that again. Look, if Karen and I would have never left Southwest, we would have never known the precious friendship we have with Brian and Kristen Glass at Cornerstone. And if we would have never left Cornerstone on mission to obey Jesus, we would have never had adopted Uncle and Auntie Bob and Mary Horning. And if we didn't obey Jesus by his grace and come to East St. Louis, we could never know the new friendships that we have with Mark and Marquita and Sandra and Terrence and James and Tisha and Joni and Mark and on and on and on, these precious friendships. When you say goodbye to some people, God will introduce you to some new people, some new family. Jesus put it like this in Mark 10. Watch this. He said, Peter said, look at what Peter, he was the talker, right? He was loud-mouthed Peter. All right. Peter said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. So he was just saying, Lord, as a missionary to follow you, look at what I left. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one who has left his home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. There are going to be some trials. And in this age, eternal life. What a promise. Jesus is saying, if you choose to follow me, you're going to have to say goodbye to some things, but I'm going to introduce you to some new people. I'm going to give you some new family. Yes, you're going to have to wave goodbye to some things to follow Jesus, but I'm going to give you some new friends in your life. I'm going to send some people your way that are going to love you in a way your old friends didn't know how to love you. You say goodbye, but God has some hellos. And that's what this church is about. This is a new church, which means most of these relationships are new relationships. And through trials and tribulation, God wants us to open up our hearts and get to love this new people called City of Joy Fellowship. He is able to help us build this new family. So when you are living on gospel mission and Jesus is leading you, you're going to say goodbye with tears. You're going to say hello to new people with celebration. But there will also be danger. Can you say danger? When you follow Jesus, there's going to be some danger. In verses 27 through 36 of chapter 21, Paul is unjustly incarcerated again for the gospel. And if you look at verse 31, look at verse 31 of chapter 21. Notice it says they were seeking to do what? Somebody help me. Kill him. So just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy. People might try to kill you. They tried to kill Paul. Locked up over and over again. That's danger, y'all. But if you were here last Sunday, remember, like Biggie Smalls, way before Biggie Smalls, Paul said, I'm ready to die. He says, I'm ready. This is going to be dangerous, but guess what? I'm ready to die. Look at verse 10 of chapter 21. This is real interesting. Y'all got to see this. Look at verse 10. It says, Luke says, while we were staying there, they were in Caesarea for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now, he's about to do something real interesting. Verse 11 says, and coming up to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So you see what's going on? That's kind of funny. Can you imagine? I mean, like, we spiritualize the Bible. Like, I mean, you're just chilling with your friends. Y'all eating, hanging out. And then somebody say, hey, there goes Agabus, the prophet. Agabus come up to you, and he like, where's the belt at? Take the man belt off. Now, it's going to be some swinging. Like, Paul was like, took his belt off. Like, Paul was like, hold up, brother, took his belt off, wrapped himself up. I'm like, this dude went crazy. You got to really know the Lord is speaking. If somebody do that, just tie yourself up in their belt and start doing this. It's like, come on, man, this is foolishness. You got to know that you got to really be hearing from the Lord. But you know what he said? He said, whosoever belt this is, he said, they're going to get you. And you're going to be tied up just like this. And they're going to do some bad things to you. I'm just trying to give you a vivid illustration. You, Mr. Missionary Paul, you can get yourself in some trouble. Look at what Paul says, though. Verse 12. It says, they saw the whole belt thing. Verse 12 says, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. They're like, uh-uh. Don't you see the belt, Paul? The man that took off a belt, wrapped himself up, and said, following Jesus is going to get you tied up and beat up and in danger, Paul. And Paul says, verse 13, then Paul answered, what are y'all doing, weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was a soldier. Paul's like, give me my belt back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. He was like, if obeying Jesus means danger or even death, Paul was like, let's go. Why? Can I see your eyes? You can do this by God's grace. Because Paul knew that Jesus Christ defeated death on Paul's behalf. That is kind of like my kids. My kids, they play with Play-Doh. They take Play-Doh, and they say, you know, anybody ever play with Play-Doh? You still like playing? Some of y'all still like playing with Play-Doh. You take Play-Doh, and you make something out of it, make a little army man or make a little doll. My kids like doing it. Paul knew that Jesus took death like Play-Doh and made a doorway out of it so that when he dies, he just goes to see Jesus. When you know that your worst enemy, death, has been made into a doorway, you can do risky things because death becomes an usher when you believe in Jesus, not an enemy. That's why he could make these strange things, like say things like, I'm ready to die. He wasn't suicidal. He was just convinced that his Jesus was alive. And when you know Jesus is alive, you do strange things. You do crazy things. Paul's motto was, y'all finish this if you know it, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Who says that? Who in the world says that? Who looks at death and say, that's a gain for me? Unless you know that Jesus was raised from the dead. Paul's words remind me of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In his final prophetic speech, when he reveals that he sounds like Paul. I had never put them together, Tori. This Dr. King sounds like Paul. Crazy. In his prophetic last speech, Dr. King reveals that he's ready to die. I just got an excerpt. I ain't worked on my King in a long time, so I won't even try to do it, but quote, like anybody, Dr. King says, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now, he says. I just want to do God's will. And so I'm happy tonight. He says, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the coming, the glory of the coming of the Lord. He says, I'm not afraid to die. because I've seen the glory of the Lord and I just want to do God's will. Listen, those are the most dangerous people. God told me something and I wrote it down years ago. He said, the most effective man or woman is the man or woman who's not afraid to die for the cause in which they fight. You are the most dangerous person is a person that's not afraid to die for their cause. Because they'll climb into airplanes and knock down buildings and kill people. They will make an impact for good or for evil. The secret to maximizing your life is not being afraid to die. Because if you're not afraid of the ultimate thing, you'll do anything for Jesus. Lord, I want to be like that. I really want to be like that. I'm not there. Remember, we said last week, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you don't have something worth dying for, your life is not really worth living yet. Number four? Where are we at? Number four. Oh, just a few more. So when you live this gospel missionary life, you're going to say goodbye to some people with tears. You're going to say hello to some people. When you follow Jesus, you're going to make some decisions that people without faith are going to say, you are a fool, Dr. King. And now black and white people are in this room because of that fool who wasn't afraid to die. Oh, my goodness. Lord, hallelujah. You're speaking. We want to make our lives matter. We need to listen. Last two, when you live on mission, there will be celebration. Can you say celebration? Celebration. I love this. Look at verse 19 of chapter 21. I'm almost done. Chapter 21, verse 19 and 20. Look at this. It says in verse 19, after greeting them, so they got back to Jerusalem. They greeted all these new friends and some old friends. It says Paul related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Now, y'all, listen to this. This blessed me so much. It says he got with these people, right? This is crazy, old crazy Paul that's making these dumb, crazy-looking decisions to get the gospel out. He gets with these people, and it says one by one, he starts telling them what God did through him. It's amazing. When you decide to allow Jesus to use your weak life to spread his good news, you get to see God work. And you get to tell people about it. Did you hear that? Like this same brother who people were like, don't go, don't go. He finally went and God used his life. And he got to see God do some things that he would not have seen if he just stayed on a couch eating chips. This is something, Mike, that God spoke to me this morning just from this. And I started to shout all by myself. Don't forget this. When you step out in faith, you get stories of his faithfulness. When you step out in faith, you get stories. When you decide to follow Jesus, he's going to give you stories that you can go back and tell people. Look, me and Karen, we're not heroes. We're not heroes at all. But we do want to be weak, imperfect, sinful, saved examples. Will we fall short? Yes. But I thank God for his grace. As we try to follow Jesus on gospel mission, back to East St. Louis, he started to give us some stories. Stories. He began to do things that we had to celebrate. Oh, we got some. I don't even have time. We got some stories. I just jotted down a few. The story of our house is a supernatural gift. The story of our launch team, 35, 40 people that we did not know before we moved to East St. Louis. The story of Mark and Marquita. That's a funny one, all right? You got to hear that one, how God connected us. Amazing. The story of the staff that we got, right? The story of the JJK. We didn't know where we was going to meet. We didn't know what we were going to do. Looking at old dilapidated buildings, and then all of a sudden, a connection, and we're in the JJK. When we stepped out on faith, that was the story of R3, connecting with R3 to do ministry in the city. When we stepped out on faith, there's a story of a barn. Now, who has a barn in East St. Louis, and it gets renovated, and now God gets worshiped in there? The story of financial provision. God has provided financially. When you step out on faith, there will be stories of God's faithfulness. The story of Zach and Jen all of a sudden hitting me up saying, we hear the Holy Spirit whispering, go to East St. Louis. The story of Next Up Youth packing out one of our houses so that God's gospel can get to teenagers. The story of the charter school. God has opened up the charter school and we get to go in and tell students about Jesus Christ. The story of the Robinson at Eastside who have started a Bible study, the story of changed life, and on and on and on. When you step out, there will be stories of his faithfulness that you would not have in your testimony repertoire if you stay on your couch and live a boring life. It will be ups and downs as a missionary. You will get hurt, but if you're walking with him, it ain't going to be boring. It ain't going to be boring. We can pray with Moses. Mark, I read this morning. I had to throw it in my notes. Deuteronomy 3:24. This is what Moses said. Oh, listen to this. He says, oh, Lord God, you have only just begun to show off your greatness and your mighty hand. I never read that before. I don't remember seeing that, and not in my Bible. He said, God, you've only just begun. And that's what I think of City of Joy. Lord, you're still writing stories. But guess what? More people need to step out and do what God is calling you to do in this city and in this region and in this area. Not just me and Karen. And guess what? There are stories in this room. And one of the beautiful things about Seek and Sing is we want you to tell your stories on Wednesday. Come out and tell some stories of what God has done in your heart and in your life and in you and through you since you've decided to follow Jesus. That's why I want you to come back next week at 4. Because Riley stepped out of her American comfort and went to Thailand, and she's coming back next week to tell some stories of his faithfulness. Number 5, this is the last one. When you live life on gospel mission, hallelujah, this is my favorite part, there will be salvation. Can you say salvation? Salvation. Just a fancy word that means there will be people who come to realize that they didn't get to earth just by coming through their mommy's stomach. There will be people who realize that they weren't stillborn or aborted for a reason. There will be people who realize that there is a God who brought me to this earth safely. When you're on mission, they will realize that this God who made me to give him praise, and I never knew it. There were people who realized that though I was created to give him praise, because of sin in my life, God deserves and I deserve to be punished by God. There will be people who hear that though I deserve to be punished by God, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross in my place and he took my punishment. There will be people who hear that God proved that Jesus' sacrifice paid your sin because he rose him up from the dead, and guess what? They're going to believe. That's amazing. When you think about people that were going to hell but now will join you in heaven, that motivates you to step out and let God use your weak life. Verse 20, look at verse 20, it says, when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands, somebody say thousands, how many thousands there are among the Jews who have believed. And then verse 25 said, but as for the Gentiles who have believed. So through Peter's ministry, God saved thousands of Jews. Through Paul's ministry, God saved many Gentiles, and it was just because they said, here I am, Lord. You saved me and sent me, not just to chill until I die, but to be like Dr. King. Say, I just want to do God's will. I just want to do God's will. I'm so thankful that you decided to follow Jesus. Even this morning, some of you new faces, because you're not here by accident, God is speaking to you. And I'm so glad that we get to celebrate salvation because we've decided to come together and worship Jesus as a church. Salvation. I'm about to take my seat, but I got a City of Joy trivia. For those of you who've only been here a few months, do you know who the first person to get baptized was at our church? Who knows that? I know a few of you who know. It was a young lady by the name of Rosalind Turner. That's my mother. And if we didn't obey the Lord, my mother wouldn't be the first person trusting in Jesus, baptized. Who knows the first person who became a Christian at City of Joy? Okay, I see. Anybody other than my wife? No. Yeah. Allison. We've sent her on to North Carolina. Allison came to this church. I talked to her about Jesus. She's like, I don't know about all of that. I didn't come here for all of that. She's like, why, my goodness. Start meeting with Jen Chike. Start sitting on the second row. Some months went by. The sister came up to me and said, I want to get baptized. Jesus, I love him. She sent me some blogs talking about the Lord reigns. I'm like, oh, my. Her life was changed. And then we think about the eight. A, Bonte, James, Jalen, Taylor, Jordan, David, Danisha. Look, 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 look. When you step out, salvation happens. And we pray for more.